Good morning. I'm really excited to be here. A lot of things I planned to do, I didn't do. And my son came last night, unexpectedly, and served us a lovely meal. And then we got into the big game, and I was rooting for Green Bay, and he was rooting for San Francisco, and it was quite a nice time. And we know who won, but boy, it was nip and tuck there for the most of the game. So I don't often do that, but with him there, he's such an encouragement. He's my favorite son, and will always be. So anyway, I'm thankful. I'm just very thankful for what God has done in his life, and he's a very firm believer. We don't see eye to eye politically or many other ways, but we do have a common interest and love for Jesus, and that's what I think is the important thing. So I'm very thankful for that. I want to start out by saying you guys have become our family in a very special way. Now, sometimes we forget names. And in fact, quite often we do. And my memory used to be, I used to remember everything. Now it's like Swiss cheese. I get these big holes in it. And I end up, you know, I have lapsus memoriae and lapsus linguae, which slip of the tongue and of the mind. And those things don't seem to be getting any better. Maybe I don't think they will either. That's the thing. But it's you deal with what you have to deal with, right? And it's good. God is good all the time. Now, first of all, I want to just thank you for being understanding to some people who are, to say the least, nonconformists and definitely scattered. And I can give you a whole lot of things that I am that I'd rather not be, but I am. And the big word of organization has a big dis in front of it. And I have to live with that. But I bring about me the people that also can do the things I can't do. So I've been on, I don't know how many mission trips over the years. For a long time, I was doing about four a year. But it was always teamwork. And the teams provided all, we covered it all, but it took the whole team to do it. And I feel that's what this church is like, too. This is a really good teamwork church. And I'm so thankful to be a part of this congregation. I can't tell you how much it means, because you are, everybody gets involved. And I think that's the way it should be. It's the different music styles, the different everything. It's wonderful. And that makes, I love that. I wanted to give a little, maybe a little background on me. Not that you don't know me pretty well already, but maybe you don't know some things. And I don't know quite a few things about me, too. But anyway, for one thing, I came to the Lord pretty early in life, probably at the age of, well, I really made a commitment when I was 10. But before that, I had known about the Lord, and after that, I knew about the Lord. But and with everybody, we're on a journey. It's not as though it all happens usually. For some people, I guess it does, but it doesn't happen all at once necessarily. We're on a journey, and I'm still on the journey, and I'm still wondering what I'm going to do when I grow up, you know. But anyway, now I know I don't have as much time ahead of me, at least on this earth, as I do back of me, because that would make me about 180, and that I don't think that's likely. So I have every day is precious. And let me tell you what my average day is like. I start out in the morning with singing the hymn, Awake My Soul and With the Sun. Let me just go through a few of the verses. It's a great hymn written back in the 1700s. No, actually, the 1600s. Awake my soul, and with the sun thy daily stage of duty run. Shake off dull sloth, and joyful rise to pay thy morning sacrifice. In conversation, be sincere. Keep conscience as the noonday clear. Think how all-seeing God thy ways and all thy secret thoughts surveys. Wake and lift up thyself, my heart, and with the angels bear thy part, who all night long unwearied sing high praise to the eternal King. May I, like them, in God delight, and you know, every now and then, that's one of the holes, see? But the hymn goes on, and particularly the last verse is wonderful. It's direct control suggests today all I design or do or say, that all my powers with all their might in thy soul glory may unite. That's my morning hymn, and then I usually have two or three others. I sort of live by the hymn book. Here it is, yeah. Going to go to that in a minute. Because I think this is the hymns are what work, do my theology. My theology comes from hymns more than anything. Because they state the gospel in a very special, easier to remember way. And I can be a five-point Calvinist and love Charles Wesley. And I can go through the whole realm of everything. And it's a wonderful, wonderful way to go. I'm really thankful for that. Anyway, that's my morning hymn. My evening hymn is All Praise My Soul, All praise to thee, my God, this night, for all the blessings of the light. Keep me, oh, keep me, King of kings, beneath thine own almighty wings. Forgive me, Lord, for thy dear Son, the ills that I this day have done, that with myself, the world, and thee, I, ere I sleep, at peace may be. Teach me to live that I may dread the grave as little as my bed. Teach me to live that so I may rise glorious in that awful day. Awful having a different meaning, of course. And then there's several more verses. Oh, may my soul on thee repose, and with sweet sleep mine eyelids close. Sleep that may me all vigorous make to serve my God when I awake. And there are several more verses. I won't go through them all. But that's my evening ritual, shall we say. And usually several more hymns are added to that. Hymns are a big part of my existence. And I'm very thankful for them. Now, I'd like to look at the hymn, though. Now, this is a vanishing commodity in the church. Do you know of any hymn books that have been written recently? We don't write them. And in a way, that's good because it means there's so much music you couldn't get them in one hymn book. But it also means that we lose a lot in trying to having something with us. Because the one I think of is Robert Robertson's, you probably know of, and he was in a stagecoach, and this woman was reading a hymn. And by the way, in those days, nobody had music. They had, you've probably seen little words-only editions of things. I have several of them home. I didn't bring any to show you, but they're little things that just have the words. And this lady was reading it, and she said, "Just look at this wonderful, wonderful hymn." And it turned out Robert Robertson was the one who wrote that hymn, and he had lost his way. He was a very devout Christian for a while. After a rather riotous teenage years, he came to the Lord, but then he lost his way. We don't ever know whether he found it again or not. But that hymn by Robert Robertson is one that meant so much to this lady who was reading it. And I think it's one of my favorite hymns, anyway. And I think most of you know the hymn I'm talking about, or don't you? Does anybody? Aha! Well, it's the hymn that... it's one of those holes again. I might actually look at my notes. That would be kind of stupid, wouldn't it? What's that? That's it. Thank you. That's why I have people like, "Come thou fount of every blessing, and tune my heart to sing thy praise." And then he was the one who had lost his way, and we don't know whether he ever came back. But that hymn has meant an awful lot to a lot of people. So I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for an understanding congregation here, which is wonderful. Now, let's look at that hymn book. This is this thing that's going to go out of style before long. So we may actually... it's a wonderful thing, though, a hymn book. And one of the things that... you know, there's so many different worship styles today, and all of them have a place. They're all good. There are still churches who sing only psalms. I mean, there was a time, of course, before Isaac Watts, that they sang only psalms, and some of the, you know, they had a thing for every single psalm. If you try to make something of every psalm, some of them are pretty tough to make much of. But anyway, they did, and the people, it was Isaac Watts who went to his father and said, "What are we singing this drivel for? This is ridiculous stuff. Can't we get something better?" He said, "Will you give us something better?" And that's when Isaac Watts went every week and gave a new hymn to the public, which was wonderful. And we have hundreds, actually close to 1,000 hymns that he wrote. And you go back to him as the father of English hymnody. And he's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful guy. But there still are groups that sing only hymns. And I mean, only psalms. And if you look through this is known as a hymn book, in case you didn't know about it. You might want to just take a look at it. If you go through it, obviously you're not going through the whole hymn book, but for example, there are at the top of every hymn, every page, there's a to tell you what passage it's based on. And you'd be amazed to look at the number of ones that are based on Psalms. Take page 20. "All people who on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Him serve with fear, his praise foretell. Come ye before him and rejoice." And if you look at the bottom, in the top it says verse 1 of Psalm 100. If you look at the bottom, it says the whole psalm is based on Psalm 100. So if you look at the bottom, you can see which hymns were chosen that were based on a whole psalm. And if you go through it, I've been through this hymn book a number of times, and there are quite a few of them that do that. You might want to look sometime and notice that. Oh, yes, and I did want to say something about that hymn that we just sang. I didn't know the origin of it at all, so I looked up the Duke of Argyll, who wrote the hymn, presumably the words. And if you go to, you think you're in a sock store, because there are so many Dukes of Argyll. Anyway, there was one. Several of them were members of the House of Commons and so forth. And anyway, back in the 1920s, nobody here that remembers the 1920s, I don't think. Close, but not quite. Okay, no 90s. Okay, so we're in difficult territory. Anyway, in the 1920s, this hymn was introduced into the United States. It was never seen before that. And my uncle went to Colgate Rochester Seminary, which is very, very liberal. But he used to talk about the fact that it was at his church that this hymn was introduced, his seminary. This was introduced in the 1920s. And I heard stories about that all while I was growing up, about this particular hymn and how it was first sung in the United States at Colgate Rochester Seminary. And it's a wonderful hymn. Anyway, so take a look at it. You all have a copy of it now, so you can learn it. So I'm thankful for that. I won't go through this, but if you look, the hymn book is really a remarkable story of God's goodness. I won't go into this much longer, but anyway, got to watch my time. Now, one of the hymns, obviously, that is based on a psalm is number 50, The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want. And this is goes back to this Scottish Psalter in 1650. And some of you know this hymn. This is one of my favorites. There's so many versions of the 23rd Psalm, but this is one of the original and really, really good one. So anyway, go through things like that. Oh God, Our Help in Ages Past is based on Psalm 90. And you look through many of these psalms, many of these hymns, and there's lots of good stuff. While they still exist, I suggest you look at the hymnal and you'll find an awful lot of good stuff in there. You really will. I'm very thankful for that. Now, when we look at the Psalms, it happens that College Church right now is doing the same thing we're doing. I don't know who started it, but they're going through the Psalms as well. So it must be a good thing to do. Psalms are, they're a source of so much, as we've heard from our two great preachers here. And you've heard something about all these different Psalms. I chose 121. I think I told you why. Because 121 is the 20th of January, 21st of January, right? And so that seemed like a logical thing to do. And the fact that it was the traveler's psalm, I mean, I love to travel. So it seemed like a sensible thing to do. And I've spent time in 95 countries, and I'd rather travel than eat. I love to travel. I was accused of, they said, there's a phrase in Swedish that says, "Bort är bra, men hem är bäst." And that's translated, to be away is good, but to be home is the best. And they often said for me, "Bort är bäst, men hem är bra." In other words, that I'd like to be away more. I love to travel. And if you haven't had a chance to, I hope you will. And I think my traveling days are not quite done. I'm already planning several trips. I haven't been out of the country now in 3 years or something, which is crazy. I mean, it's wild. So I've got more countries to go to. I've got a list of probably 10 or 15 that I haven't been to. But I always, wherever I go, I have to have a reason to go, and I have to have them ask me. And so I still have my medical license, so I can still use that. And I still preach, and I still do a lot of music. And it works out very well. And I always want to bring a team. So I'm still looking at possible teams and places to go. I want to get back to Turkey to see the Browns, and I want to get just no place too important. Like, you know, I might go to New Zealand and Australia, and, you know, nothing big. And I want to go to. I haven't been to several countries in Central Europe, which is ridiculous, but it's happened. So anyway, I've got plans. You have to have plans, though, don't you? You have to have some reason to keep going. And when you get to be almost 89, you have to think that your opportunity to do this may be somewhat limited. But it still can happen. But right now, I only go with this lady over here. I'm not taking any. But she had a suggestion, and I don't know if anybody wants to take her up on it. She thinks we should all wear name tags. So those of us with holy memories won't have to go crazy thinking about, who is this now? We know them, but they can't seem to come up with the word. So anyway, that's just a thought. It's maybe one Sunday a month or something, have everybody wearing their name tag. And, okay, that's enough of that. Okay. Now, to the task at hand, which is 121st Psalm. Now, I'm going to read this. I'm using the NLT. I know it's not a strict translation and all that, but it's awfully good. I love the NLT. I'm going to read 121st Psalm in the NLT. A song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem. That's the title. Okay. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from them? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The Lord will not harm you by day. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord keeps you from all harm. He watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you go, come and go, both now and forever. One of the words, this is divided into verses 1 through 3 as personal, and it's 4 through 8 are more or less speaking about Israel. But if we take this, and I'm taking it as being the songs of ascent, this being the second one, starting with 120, and there are 15 psalms that are called psalms of ascent because they're going up to Jerusalem. 120 is a little troublesome. If you look at it, it's being rescued from liars and from deceitful people and all that sort of thing. And it said, when I search for peace, but when I speak of peace, they want war. Doesn't that sound familiar? That's Psalm 120. That's the first of 15 psalms that are called Psalms of Ascent. And I'm going to, there's 100 theories of what these psalms mean. I'm going to take it that they do mean they're written for pilgrims going from Jericho or wherever up the mountain to the temple. Now, mountains, every culture knew something special about mountains. Every culture there's hundreds of cultures, and everyone had something about a mountain. Usually the mountain meant something mysterious, often something evil. Many of the early cultures used mountain as this was a bad thing. There are only two mountains, really, that the Israelites really appreciated. Mount Sinai and the mountain that leads up to the temple. Those are the two mountains that had special significance to Israelites. And I'd like to just focus on a couple of words here. What am I doing here? I got to get going. If indeed this was a psalm, and I'm taking it as a psalm that of people going up to Jerusalem, one thing that comes to mind is the psalm of the parable of Jesus, which is probably in this same general area, where two people came down from the mountain, probably from a glorious experience in the temple, which was the focus point for all these different groups that went up. They all were going up for one of the festivals, whether Passover or whatever. And there are many, many festivals that people went up for. And the one parable I think of is the one of the folks coming down from the temple. In other words, the Samaritan, Good Samaritan. Okay, they were coming down from the temple. They were coming down from a glorious experience, looking out to their future, where it was going to be. But they came down from the mountain. The mountain was, if they had just been at the temple having this glorious experience, you would think that, well, it'd be like us going out of church right now. And that we've been up to the temple. We've had our hearts strangely warmed by the Lord. And then we go out, and what do? Well, two of the guys were doing, they thought the right thing, and they headed down. They saw this guy was in bad trouble. He'd been taken by thieves. And they went by and went on. And that was a sad thing. And it took a Samaritan, one who had no connection at all, to see the need and to respond to it. And I just wonder, as we go out from the church, what's going to happen? Are we going to be ready to see the need? Or are we going to go about and do whatever it is we were going to do? And it might be a very good thing. But we have to be open to the needs of other people. And that's what these two guys didn't do at all. They took somebody entirely foreign to do it. And I just want to be one of those people. I'd rather be like the Samaritan if I could. And I'd like to be able to be ready to respond in whatever way God chooses as we go out. Were they the other guys doing something good? Probably. They were, you know, having been charged in the temple, they were ready to go out and conquer the world. Except they obviously weren't ready for the unexpected opportunities that God gives. And he gives us very specific opportunities that are not what we expect at all. And anyway, I want to be like the Samaritan if I can. And I think we all do, but we all tend to get into our own frame of mind while we're out there. And but we need to be open to whatever it is God has. And he always does something special. To me, every day is a new, who knows, this may be the last day. We don't know. But every day is precious. And I want to use them for the Lord in some special way. Probably not the way I expect it to be. In fact, most likely not. Because he works in his own way. And I can't plan a day and say, this is the way I'm going to do today. I have to be ready. What is God doing? What is he going to do today? What is going to be before me that I can respond to? If this is the last day of my life or the last day of your life, how do you want to be spending it? Doing what he wants you to do, right? And that's the thing I see. Another word that really strikes me here, and it's getting late, so I'm going to finish this, is the word threshold. You know, think of the number of times you go across the threshold of your house. You're either going out or you're coming in, right? And every one of those goings out and coming in and the threshold that we pass over is important to remember that God is with us. He indeed is going to watch over us. He's never going to slumber, take cat naps or sleep. Never going to do that. He's always going to be there. He's always going to be your protection and my protection, no matter what it is. And wherever we go, he's there. And that knowledge is almost too wonderful to think of. To think of God always being there, not just some of the time, but every time. He's there. And I like to think of in terms of going over the threshold, the number of times I do that, knowing if I'm going out, he's there. If I'm coming in, he's there. And he's there on the threshold when I'm in between. So he's going to watch over. The sun's not going to harm you by day. No, the moon by night. Now, how does the moon harm you? I think not too many people get moonburn. You get sunburn, but you don't get moonburn. But what does that word come from? Lunatic, right? The moon, it has to do with lunatics. That's what the word comes from. So he protects you from that. and he watches over everything. And when you're walking, and when you get to be my age, walking is not maybe as easy as it was a few years ago. But he's promised. He doesn't promise that you're not going to have a fall and break your leg or your hip or something. But he has promised he's going to keep you from harm. He's going to be there no matter what. And I am so thankful for that. A lot more I could say, but I'm not going to now. I'm just going to be thankful to... I turn that psalm over to you. And so look at the hymn book and look at this psalm. And there's a lot more than be said for it, but also I've already gone way over my time. So there we go. I, by the way, have a son-in-law who's... This is Steve Constance. Many of you know him. He always has good insights. He gave me a whole bunch of insights here. And he goes through that we don't need to be afraid of the mountains. There are a lot of people who are afraid of mountains. But he, and Shemesh is the sun, and he gave me some wonderful stuff here. We won't have a chance to go over it now. He is your powerful protector. And when we go out of here, when we pass over that threshold, let's be ready for whatever God has for us. Who knows what it's going to be? Maybe something very surprising, and it probably will, because every day is a new adventure. And I just, again, thank you for letting me be a part of you guys, and I'd like to remain a part of you guys. So you're stuck with me. You can get rid of me if you choose. But thank you for being who you are. And I'd like to get to know each one of you well enough so I can... Every person has an interesting story. You know, there's no ordinary person. Everyone has an interesting story. And I'd like to learn a lot more about each one of your stories. And I got a lot more stories myself. So the Lord is good, and let's go to our last hymn. I think, is that the next thing, or do we do something else first? Okay. The last hymn is one you're going to know. He leadeth me. It's hymn I thought was written in Boston. It wasn't. It was written in Philadelphia. And it's a good story. Of course, behind every hymn, there's a wonderful story. And I'd like to tell them all, but I won't. You're protected from that. But this hymn is a great one. So...
Number 461.
Okay. Oh, it has a number too. Yeah. Oh, nice.